Before I begin, I want to thank my sister-in-law, Mrs. Berkowitz, for the opportunity to look into Inyanim of Rosh Hashanah at the beginning of Elul, or a little bit to the middle of Elul, and thank you for the push to learn a little bit about Malchios. And I wish I could see you all and say hello to you all, and I please accept my Ksiva V'Chasima Tova through the computer. Anyone wants to call personally, I'd love to hear from you. Chazal instructed us to say 10 psukim declaring Hashem's malchus on Rosh Hashanah. And there's a discussion in the Gemara between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. If Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Achad can be included as one of the psukim of malchus. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Achad, where do you see the word king? Where do you see the melech? It doesn't say Hashem is the king. And Rabbi Yossi disagrees. He says, what do you mean? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Achad. We're declaring that Hashem is one. He's our Hashem. And that means he's our king. What are they really arguing about? There's two aspects to Hashem's kingship. One aspect is Hashem controls the world, which implies that after Hashem created the world, he didn't just leave it to run by itself. He's actively involved in all the things that happen every single day in our lives. Hashem is controlling the world. That's aspect one of Hashem's kingship. Which means when I pull into a parking lot and there's a parking spot for me, Hashem was running the world. Hashem enabled that to happen. If I walk into kosher spot, which is in Minneapolis, and there's no romaine lettuce or there's no schnitzel, you know, just one of the things that happen here, that's fine. Okay, it's Erev Shabbos and there's no challah meat. We'll figure it out. It's part of Hashem controlling the world. He is in charge. It didn't just happen. That's the first aspect of Hashem's kingship. Hashem controls the world. He didn't just create the world, he controls the world. The second aspect of Hashem's kingship is really defining our relationship with Hashem. It means that we accept Hashem as our king and we are his servants. It's the relationship aspect. And what Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi are disputing about, they're arguing about, is this question. What are we focusing on Rosh Hashanah? Rabbi Yehuda is saying, we're focusing on the first aspect. Hashem controls the world. He's the melech, he's the king, and that's why we have to say that word in the pasuk. Rabbi Yossi says, no, we're not. We're focusing on the second aspect, our relationship with Hashem. And that's why there's no better way to declare our relationship with Hashem than with Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Achad, which has been Klal Yisrael's battle cry all the generations. That's our acceptance of Hashem as king. Lemaisa, what's the accepted opinion? Rabbi Yossi. And we do say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So when we say these psukim of Malchios and Rosh Hashanah, we don't just say them, we're really accepting Hashem. We're really accepting this idea that Hashem is our king and we're committing ourselves to perform his mitzvos. We're humbling ourselves before him. We're acknowledging that we're small, pitiful creatures. We're lucky, we're fortunate to have this privilege to serve the great king of the universe. That's what we're thinking when we say Malchios. That's what we're thinking when we say these psukim. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that any year that is poor at the beginning will be rich at the end. Poor at the beginning becomes rich at the end. What does this mean? What does it mean poor and what does it mean rich? So in order to earn a favorable judgment, a chasima tova on Rosh Hashanah, first we have to feel the poverty. We have to feel poor at the beginning. We have to feel humble. We have to realize how limited we are. That the tefillah should be said with a broken heart and totally machnia ourselves to Hashem's service. Then, if we're poor, humble at the beginning, by Rosh Hashanah, that will lead to a rich year, a positive judgment, a successful year. I don't think there's ever been a better year to say, we feel poor. Poor. Limited. Humbled. Limited in our capabilities. We realize, wait, we thought we had this down pat. We thought we figured this out. No, this is not happening. So when we internalize that, when we machnia ourselves, that's an assurance that Be'ezer Hashem, we should be able to have a chasima tova. Number of years ago, there was a song that came out that struck me. The lashon of the song struck me. I don't know if people know the song anymore. I don't know if it's popular anymore. At the time that it came out, it was very, very popular. And it starts, B'sha Shemelech HaMashiach Ba. at the time when the Melech HaMashiach will come. It says, Omid al Gag, he stands on the roof, Gag Beis HaMikdash, the roof of the Beis HaMikdash, Umashmiel Yisrael v'Omer, and he makes her to Klal Yisrael, and he says, he's calling out to Klal Yisrael. So Melech HaMashiach is standing on the roof of the Beis HaMikdash, and he's calling out to Klal Yisrael. He wants to get their attention. It struck me, the next word. How does he get their attention? What does he call them? Does he say, Yidin? Well, this is a Hebrew song, but Yidin, Klal Yisrael. The next word in the song is Anavim, humble ones. Why does he call them humble ones? I was so struck by this. What is this? And then he says, Higi Azman Geulaschem, the time of your Geula has come. So I thought about it, and I think that perhaps we could say that the time of the Geula, Klal Yisrael will have been humbled. Nisyonos galos humble us. And that's what Hanosein LaYa'ef Koach, he gives strength to the weak. The weak means the weak from galos, the weak from all the nisyonos that come along with galos. So when Mashiach will come, he's going to call Klal Yisrael and he's going to say, Anavim, humble ones, Higi Azman Geulaschem. But according to Rav Steinman, this is what will bring them the Geula. It's the fact that they're Anavim. Because just like the Gemara in Sota says that someone who's humbled, he's viewed in the eyes of the Torah as having shechted all the karbanos of the Beis HaMikdash. Like it says in Tehillim, Zivchei Elokim Ruach Nishpara. The sacrifices of Hashem are a broken heart. And those tefillos that he gives, even if he doesn't really deserve to have his tefillos accepted, even if he's really worthy of rejection, he's really very low. But it says, Lev nishpar v'nitke Elokim lo sivzeh. If he has a broken heart, Hashem, he won't despise him. He won't despise his tefillos. He'll accept his tefillos, even if he's unworthy. So if we realize that Yemei Ratzon, that even if we're unworthy, and even if we really don't deserve to have a favorable judgment, but if we focus on humbling ourselves before Hashem, realizing how limited we are, and accepting Hashem as our King, and accepting the mitzvahs of Hashem that comes along with that, then in that tzchus, we'll be able to have a chasima tova, a rich year. It might be poor in the beginning, but it will be rich at the end when we internalize the psukim of Machios. And then Be'ez Hashem will be zocha to have that scene played out for us soon of a Mashiach, Omein Al Gag, saying, Anavim, Higia Zman Geulaschem.